Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 238. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Not much. I got a little sinus infection, and I just recorded another podcast before this, so my voice is about gone, but it's good. We're here.
Yeah, recording back-to-back podcasts can take its toll on the voice, or, you know, one of those days you do like a long live stream and then record it on the podcast. Yeah, it can be a lot, but happy to be back on the mic here. Hope you had a good weekend. We got one more week of regular season minor league ball here for AA. AAA goes another, 2 weeks, and we got postseason for certain teams, so still got a little bit of time left to get some live looks in, then we'll be out in Arizona before we know it, but we are not going the prospect route today, more the major league route, talking some dynasty studs from this year, some of that were, you know, relative unknowns coming into the year, others that, you know, we thought would be good and have broken out like we thought, guys like Tristan Casas, Royce Lewis, but be a fun little mix of players here, talking, you know, digging into the profile, seeing how we value all of these guys moving forward. But before we get into all these names, let's get the usual housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Roto Clegg. I am at Eric Cross 04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoyed this podcast, please drop a 5-star rating and review. We definitely appreciate all of those. And make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, TheDynastyDugout.com and ToolShedFantasy.com. Formal work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty prospect and FYPD rankings. And we'll be doing a lot of fun stuff rest of the season and into the offseason as well. So make sure to check out both of those platforms. We appreciate the support. All right, starting off the show here, we got to go with the guy that's probably maybe the hottest hitter in baseball right now, or if not the hottest, top three hottest hitters in baseball right now. And that is Davis Schneider from the Toronto Blue Jays. A guy that I'm really pissed off at myself because I picked him up originally in my home keeper league. And then, you know, he had the hot first few games. I dropped him when he had like that 4 or 5 game stretch where he didn't do much. I'm like, all right, that was fun for a few games. And then obviously he's been like, you know, Babe Ruthian ever since then. But right now we're only looking at a 97 plate appearance sample size. So obviously not very big, but the numbers right now are absolutely, you know, video game like 368, 505, 789 slash line, 9 doubles, 7 home runs in 97 plate appearances. I wrote him up today over on my Patreon, toolshedfantasy.com. And Chris, the profile here is really interesting because, you know, while he's obviously on the surface dominating, you know, he's running a BABIP over 500 right now. There's a super high whiff rate, 37%. Doesn't chase that a lot either, 15%, but zone contact and contact rates are both well below major league average. I mean, what are you making of this profile right now? I mean, like I said in my write-up of him, I still think there's a solid fantasy player in here, like a 260-20 type, but you know, these, you know, pull happy, you know, profiles, he's hitting home runs because he's pulling the ball a lot and hitting the ball in the air a lot. And the home run to fly ball ratio is like 28%, which is obviously not sustainable. But obviously regression is coming, but like how much regression do you think, Chris? Like, do you think there's still a good, like maybe a top 100 player in here, or what are you thinking?
I don't think he's a top 100 fantasy player, but I think like top 250 for dynasty is pretty reasonable. With maybe you can go to like top 200, maybe. There are some struggles with breaking balls, even though he's obliterated breaking balls so far in the majors. Like you look at what he did in AAA, which was really good. But the contact against breakers, the performance against breakers, certainly not as good. The off-speed, the changeup's actually where he really struggles, which I find interesting. His highest chase rate in the minors was against changeups, and the lowest contact rate against any pitch type was against changeups. And we're kind of seeing that still in a small sample in the major. So that's something interesting to watch. It is a bizarre profile where he's swinging and missing a decent bit, but he's just hitting the ball extraordinarily hard and on like an incredible run. The mustache only helps this. Like, I think that dude, the mustache just matches the performance, but the performance like just completely flew under the radar in AAA too. We're talking about somebody that hit the ball, you know, really hard. His ninth percentile in AAA was above MLB average at 104.5. He had a 13% barrel rate, which is really good. And he did make pretty solid contact there, 85% zone. He chased at a 20% rate and a 76% contact rate. So, you know, we didn't know Davis Schneider much. So, like, nobody expected this. But you go back and hindsight's 2020, and Davis Schneider, you know, kind of looked like this player. So I think it's a player I like. I don't think he's a fantasy stud by any means, but I think he's a pretty serviceable dude.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. But obviously, all, you know, trade deadlines have passed, which at least I'm assuming every trade deadline has passed for fantasy leagues. So this is a guy you won't be able to move to the offseason. So if you have him, you got to hold on to him for a little bit. But I think in the offseason, it's just worth a shot just to be like, let's throw him on the trade block or however you communicate these things with your league, Discord, you know, or what, Facebook, whatever. And just see what you can get. Maybe you can get like a top 150 player back or something like that. Maybe someone is more of a believer than we are, and you know, we'll give you that player for him. So it's at least worth taking the shot. And if not, you know, he's still gonna be a decent player. It's not like he's gonna completely fall off a cliff. There's still a solid profile in here to be had. Moving over to a couple of youngsters here, starting with Tristan Cassis from my Boston Red Sox, who has, you know, after, you know, it wasn't a bad start to the year, but a bit pretty sluggish, I think it's fair to say. But since June 13th, Tristan Cassis has been, I think, the number two first baseman in baseball from a fantasy perspective, only behind Matt Olson, who just hit his 50th home run tonight. But since June 13th, a span of 267 plate appearances, Cassis is slashing 315, 405, 595 with 17 home runs, 45 RBI, 40 runs scored. So well over, you know, 100 run, 110 RBI pace in those games to go along with a 40 plus homer pace as well. And then you look at the, you know, the profile, it's just littered with red on Savant. Great quality of contact metrics. He's keeping the K rate 24-25%, walks a good amount as well. And something, Chris, that I think you and I both mentioned in the past, probably, you know, last offseason leading into the season, was that he needed to trim that ground ball rate, which was, you know, a bit of an issue in the minor leagues. And last year, where he was at 56.5%, trimmed that by more than 20%. So how high are we rising Cassis up our rankings? Like, I think he's absolutely a top five first baseman at this point. I mean, you got like the big four, and then I think he's right there. But like, how close do you think he's getting to those top four, and to maybe even surpassing a guy like Vlad Jr.? I mean, that might sound crazy to say, but looking at the profiles, I don't think there's as big of a gap as people think.
Yeah, the most interesting thing for me is like his performance against lefties. And I think that's probably the biggest hindrance. And moving him way up is, you know, just the splits. Like, how's he going to handle lefties long term? We've seen it improve, but I mean, he's still hitting 219 against lefties this year with a 32% K rate. Against righties, that's a 23% K rate. So a big difference there. The interesting thing is he is walking at a 367 clip, or an OBP of 367. So a pretty high walk rate still against lefties. It's almost more the fact that he's just swinging less. And then in doing so, he's working deeper into counts, just being more patient. So this is interesting to follow and to see like what he ends up doing against lefties. But yeah, I mean, the strides that he's made are really impressive. And like, you can pull up a graph and just kind of see like a rolling game chart. And it's just been pretty impressive to see like his performance just take a huge step forward this year. And even when like there was a bit of a downturn, like he's still been really, really good. And, you know, in almost all aspects of the game. So from like just hitting, like, we know he could hit the ball hard. Like, he hits the ball incredibly hard. You know, he's chasing less this year. He's making more contact. Like, you kind of see those numbers just steadily increase. And it's really fun to look at and see because of, you know, how good he's really been down the stretch. So I'm not ready to put him near that top tier yet, but I think that there's certainly a case that he could get there because he's 23 years old. He had the prospect pedigree and he's making major strides at the plate. So I'm not at that level, but I do think that there's plausible reason to say that Tristan Casas is certainly a high end fantasy first baseman at this point.
Where do you have him in terms of first base? I mean, obviously, so from what you were saying, I'm assuming you have him behind Alonzo, Freeman, Vladdy, and Olson, obviously the big four. But is he still number five for you? Because after that, it's like, okay, there's Goldie, but Goldie's almost 36. Vinny, you know, there's Vinny, he's hurt. But then you got, you know, another cluster of Torque, Encarnacion, Strand, you know, Naylor, Walker, these types of guys. So is he still your first baseman five, though?
The only one I have ahead of him who could go either way is Cody Bellinger.
Bellinger too. Yeah. I don't even have him listed as first base on my spreadsheet. I kind of missed him.
Yeah, I mean, technically I'd say he's a center fielder, but he has played 43 games at first this year. So he's the only other one I have ahead right now. So otherwise, yeah, Casas is in that spot.
Let's see. Where do I have, as I get the first base filter off here? Do I have Bellinger ahead? I have them three spots apart. So, yeah. So I think we kind of have him somewhere range, but yeah. And obviously watching him come up through, like, I don't think the first, you know, hitting against lefties is going to be like a major hindrance for him long-term. I'm not like overly concerned by that. We'll see. Obviously things can change. You know, obviously guys aren't the same now as they were in, you know, Double A when I saw him, but definitely, you know, just watching him on a nightly basis as a Red Sox fan, you know, this is not me with like Red Sox blinders on. Like, this dude is that good. You know, just watch Cassis if you don't believe me. Like, this guy has been, you know, one of the hottest hitters in baseball for the last 3 months now, which is about half of a season overall. So definitely love seeing this from Tristan Casas. And another guy that's one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now had another home run tonight, and that's Royce Lewis. So that home run tonight was his 13th of the season in just 51 games. Coming into tonight, it was slashing 314, 365, 543. So 13 home runs now, has five steals as well, which I'm just glad he's running at least a little bit after, you know, the knee injuries. I was kind of wondering how much he was going to run, you know, given that speed was a pretty solid part of his game. Coming up through the minor leagues, obviously a guy that we thought would be like a 25 steal guy. We'll see where he settles in that long term. But just another guy, Chris, that I think is really creeping up, maybe even getting into that top 50 overall discussion like Tristan Casas is. You know, obviously, he was a number one pick for a reason. Had a fairly up and down, you know, minor league career, but always had all the tools, all the talent in the world, and, you know, finished off that minor league career on a hot note. Has been very productive for the Twins here. So kind of similar question to what I asked you with Tristan Casas. How high are you pushing Royce Lewis right now? Is he a guy that you think will be top 50 by end of the season? And where do you think he kind of fits, you know, in the, you know, shortstop third base ranks as well?
Yeah, I think the top 50 is pretty reasonable. He's always had the talent. Like, there's never been denying that. You look just even since he was, you know, before he was drafted. I mean, the pedigree, the talent has always been there. And they went with the first overall pick. Injuries have certainly destroyed him, but he looks like a top 50 player at this point with the power, with the speed, the contact skills, everything you want to see with Royce Lewis is there. So from a standpoint of like shortstops, third base only, I do think the value kind of comes from third base, because third base does drop off a bit after the top guys. And so, I mean, in reality, like, who do you like better, like him or Gunnar Henderson? As I look, and Gunnar Henderson's much higher on my list, but, you know, if Royce Lewis is healthy, I think I can make an argument that I like Royce Lewis as much, if not more, than Gunnar Henderson, which pushes him really high, in all honesty. Like, that's pushing him way up the board, but I don't know. Like, I like him more than Jordan Walker at this point. He's going to pass Jordan Walker, who I like a lot, who's top 50 for me. I think Royce Lewis is a dude, and that if healthy, should be like in this conversation for like high-end dynasty players.
Yeah. How high do you think he could rise, though? Like, obviously, I think the speed, you know, how much he runs following, you know, the multiple, you know, major knee injuries is going to be a question. And obviously, that'll drive a bit of his value here. I think that gap between him and Gunnar is closing for sure. Like, if I look right now, I have them Gunnar, I have at this very second, obviously it's going to change for my next update, I have Gunnar 27 and Royce Lewis 41. So among third basemen, I have him behind. So let's see, Bobby Witt Jr. still even have third base eligibility after this year? How much has he played there this year? I'm not
sure. He'll probably lose it after this year.
Yeah, I think he's going to lose it. So let's not include him. So there's Ellie, there's Joe Ram, there's Devers, there's Riley. And, you know, Gunners will still have eligibility at least till next year. And then, you know, I still do have, I don't know if I want to have Machado ahead of, you know, a guy like Royce Lewis anymore. So he's like in that 5-6 range for third baseman. Like, he's leapfrog Josh Young, who I like, you know, a good amount as well. He's leapfrog Arenado at this point by a little bit, even though Arenado's still top 50 for me. But yeah, Royce Lewis, it's just the health. If he can stay healthy and at least provide some speed, even if it's just like 10 to 15 steals a year, yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, we're looking at a 25, 30, maybe even more, you know, home run bat, got to hit for a solid average, you know, decent OBP as well. Yeah, I think it's all there, and it's all coming together right now for Royce Lewis. Let's just hope that all the knee injuries and, you know, all the injuries in general are behind him. But, you know, these last two guys were, you know, obviously highly ranked prospects, and this next guy wasn't, at least not nearly to the same degree, but another guy that, you know, I tweeted about a few days ago, I think is entering the, you know, the top 100 dynasty discussion, and that's Chaz McCormick from the Houston Astros here, who has 20 home runs and 16 steals and 395 plate appearances this year, slashing 285, 365, 516. I think we kind of all, at least I did, I was waiting for the, you know, the hot streak to kind of cool off and him to lose playing time there in Houston, but that just hasn't been the case. He's gotten better and better, and, you know, again, I think now he's in top 100 discussion. But Chris, what have you seen from McCormick? Are you kind of trusting that what we're seeing, at least, you know, maybe not to, know, a, what is it, 35, 25 pace or whatever it is. But do you think he is in that top 100 discussion right now for Dynasty?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a pleasant surprise that I thought might tail off, and he just hasn't. He keeps performing, and that's been really awesome to see. The Astros development does it again with Chaz McCormick, who has taken a major step forward this year in a lot of aspects of his game, from, you know, the contact side. Like, he's making solid contact. The zone contact rate's up 2 percentage points this year. The overall contact rate's up a point and a half, which is great to see. He's being a little more aggressive. He's swinging more, and that's almost paying off. While he is chasing a little bit more, we see the hard hit numbers. They're all there. They kind of back the performance. The interesting thing to see is that McCormick's running an 11.4% barrel rate, but every year of his career, the dude has ran a barrel rate higher than 10%. Like, yeah. He's like, okay, like, maybe this isn't an outlier anymore. Like, the high-end EVs aren't elite, but he hits the ball hard at ideal launch angles, and he makes it work. Like, the sweet spot percentage is very high at near 40%, 39.6% with him. And when he puts the ball in play, he's making things happen. He's got good sprint speed as well, good instincts on the base paths. Like, I think Chaz McCormick just might be a dude that we're not talking about enough. And he's been an absolute underrated stud that we probably didn't see coming.
I'm just really happy that I got him in a few leagues, a couple redraft leagues, in my home keeper league. I think I got him in one other dynasty league as well. So very happy with what I've gotten from Chaz McCormick this year. And yeah, he was always a guy that was always kind of like on the radar, guy that I always kind of had in my peripherals during draft season or whatever throughout the season. Like, all right, there's some potential here, but never thought it'd be to this degree. But yeah, I think definitely top 100 discussion. And currently I have him ranked. Let's see, do a quick control F here. Yeah, 97 overall right now. And that's probably going to rise higher by the time I actually post this update. I can see probably putting him maybe even closer to 75 than 100. We shall see. Another guy here in the American League, kind of a similar, you know, not a huge prospect, but, you know, has really come on this season and kind of exceeded expectations. That's Kerry Carpenter from the Detroit Tigers, former 19th round selection back in 2019. But this year so far in 379 plate appearances, so kind of a similar amount of playing time to Chaz McCormick. We've gotten 20 home runs and 5 steals from him with a 293, 354, 516 slash line. He's absolutely murdering fastballs, hitting well against off-speed. Breaking balls are kind of his I wouldn't even say a weakness, because he's not terrible against breaking balls, but he is 227, but not whiffing too much either. You know, this is a guy that has been keeping the whiff rate in check, a little bit above league average, but decent enough contact rates, you know, and the quality of contact has been pretty solid as well. You know, I don't like him quite as much as McCormick, just because McCormick obviously adds a bit more speed than Carpenter. But Chris, do you think Carpenter's at least in the, we'll say, the top 150 that dynasty discussion right now?
Oh yeah, I think that's fair. I already have him there of my last update. Let's see exactly where I have him. And he has, like, I had him at 170. So I think 150 is a reasonable argument at this point. While he hasn't hit a home run since August 23rd, he's still been hitting really well since then. Even where you see like a power, like, outage per se, he's still hitting over 300 over that span with a 353 OBP. So that's been fun to see. Like, he's been one of the biggest developmental wins in the Tigers org, which has been huge for them. He's making a ton of contact. He's an aggressive hitter that chases, but he makes it work. I think that if it was not for the home ballpark, we'd be looking at an even better fantasy asset. This park limits hitters in a massive way. He has 6 home runs at home and 14 on the road. The splits are absolutely bizarre, though. His average, so much better at home. 347 at home, which is weird to look at, and 237 on the road. It's kind of baffling. We know that Carpenter's home park zaps power. But again, this is somebody that just turned 26 years old a couple days ago. So somebody coming into their own, I really like Carpenter. I think 150 is certainly reasonable at this point for Kerry Carpenter.
Yeah, I said 150 because I looked at my rankings. I have him currently at 139 right now. He was 273 in the last update. Moved him up, basically cut that in half, and might even get him another 10, 15 spots higher. We'll see how the next couple of weeks go. But yeah, definitely been I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen from Carpenter here this season. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, welcome back. Let's get into the next few names here, starting with Isak Paredes, who might just have one of, at least to me, Chris, like one of the just oddest profiles around. And coming up through it as a prospect, he was a decent prospect. I think he made some top 100s, in that 75 to 100 range, but he was kind of more thought of as a hit over power guy. And now, at least on the surface, he's been more so power over hit. But you look at the metrics still say hit over power. So it's just really weird to see, what Isak Paredes has done overall with the metrics he has. So how are you dissecting this kind of strange profile, Chris? Is he a guy that you're believing in, or is he more a guy you'd be looking to sell in the offseason if you had him?
This has obviously been an awesome season for Isak Paredes. And it's easy to think like, okay, they've got a lot of guys coming, like he could lose time, but I don't think that's the case. Like, I think that Paredes is pretty stamped in this lineup for the foreseeable future. This is a profile that they really love. I mean, the dude's producing, he doesn't cost them much of anything. He's not ARB eligible until 2025. He's going to continue to play pretty much every day and perform. Not only is the power really good, but the contact skills are well above average, 82% or 83% overall contact, 91% zone contact. Awesome to see. And while the EVs aren't like overwhelmingly awesome, like you'd hope to see, he just barrels the ball up. Like he's hitting at ideal launch angles. He's hitting enough fly balls to hit the ball out of the park. And it's working. Is there regression coming? Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you can sell Paredes for a top 100 player, I probably would. But I do think that he's still a solid player that I'm fairly in on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm having a hard time valuing this profile because obviously he's never going to add speed. Like, that's blatantly obvious. He has one steal in his first four seasons. So like, he's going to have to produce with the bats. And I think there's where he is now, actually, I think is a fair range for him because I'm kind of expecting some, power regression next year, but I also expect, the average to potentially go up a little bit as well to maybe offset that. Like, I see him as more of like a 270 plus guy with 20 to 25 home runs. Like, I don't think he's, he'll probably exceed 30 this year. He's already at 29. So as long as he has one more, he'll exceed 30. So, but I don't see him as like an annual 30 home run guy, but if he can be, 270 with, low to mid 20s home runs, that's still, like a solid corner infielder or something like that. And he's still only 24 years old. Like, it feels like Paredes should be older than that, but still only 24 years old. So, yes, I think there's definitely a solid player, but I guess if I had to lean one way, I would lean a little bit more to sell high, but like, I don't think he's a fall off a cliff or anything that next season. A few more players here. We got a trio of catchers, but before we get into the catchers, let's kind of go back over to the Detroit Tigers here with Spencer Torkelson. Chris, probably should have mentioned him earlier when we mentioned Cassis, but Torque has really come on here, over the second half of the season. You look at the surface line, it's still only 234, 319, 449, but look under the hood, a lot of good stuff going on there. He's running three home runs shy of a 30 home run season, which is pretty impressive given that his home ballpark is, pretty difficult on power overall. But, you know, quality of contact has been very good, 14.7% barrel rate, 51.8% hard hit rate, 92-mile-an-hour average exit velo. And, you know, he's been really just kind of ticking up and up as the season progresses here. So kind of where do you see him kind of falling in the first base rankings here? And overall, I guess, is Torque top 100 for you now? Is he, you know, a top 10 first baseman? Where do you have him right now?
I think he fits both pretty well, the top 100 for sure, and definitely the top 10 at first base. I had a 91 last update, and he's only continued to perform. So at this point, like I told you I had Casas fifth, if you didn't count Bellinger. I have Goldschmidt sandwiched in between Casas and Torkelson, but I'm not sure if there's a good reason to do that anymore, considering Torque, who just turned 24 years old, is looking like a really solid player at this point. He's done a lot of things well, and he's doing, I mean, while the average, I know everybody's going to harp on the batting average, but just look past that. Just please look past the batting average and look at what everything that he's doing and how it's increased throughout the year, how hard he's hitting the ball. He has 15 home runs since the All-Star break. He's got a near 340 OBP over that span and slugging 530. And this is all while playing in a terrible home ballpark. Does that matter? Yeah, it does matter. Just like we said with Kerry Carpenter, that does matter a lot to me. But he's making it work. Again, the splits are drastic. 8 home runs at home, 19 home runs on the road. Pretty wild to see. But that's what we've got out of him. So if Spencer Torkelson is going, he's going to hit 30 home runs. The fact that he's doing that while playing in that home ballpark speaks a lot about him, in my opinion. I'm really pumped to see what he can do. And I think that it's definitely a top 100 asset and a top 7 first baseman at this point.
Yep. I'm pretty much right there with you on that one. I mean, look at where he was, you know, late June, you know, after an 0-for-4 game on June 26th against the Texas Rangers, he was slashing 218, 298, 360, you know, so not hitting for a ton of power at that point in time. Average was, you know, below 220. But since then, in his last 65 games, which is 276 play appearances, 253, 344, 556 with 14 doubles and 19 home runs. So, you know, that's looking like a, you know, see, that's a 650 plate appearance pace, 45 home runs, you know, and we're looking at probably like the 115, 120 RBI range as well. So, yeah, I think that Detroit lineup could be sneaky good. They're going to be adding, you know, Cole Keith next year, Justin Henry Malloy, obviously it's Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that could be a sneaky good lineup. And yeah, I think Torque, you know, for a guy that we both, or I think maybe more so me, and I'll fully admit that gave, you know, a little bit of, not crap, but I had my concerns about Torque in the past, which I still think were valid at the time, but he's definitely, you know, made the improvements needed and he's really blossoming right now. So it's been really impressive to see. All right, let's round out the show with a pair of catchers here, sorry, with Kiber Ruiz from the Washington Nationals and Cal Raleigh, a.k.a. Is it Big Dumper that they call him, right, Chris?
Yeah, the Big Dumper.
Big Dumper, that's right, yes, which is one of my favorite nicknames in all baseball, Big Dumper. And it really, like, if I've never seen a nickname fit a guy just so perfectly for like what type of ball player that person is, but let's start with not Big Dumper, though. Let's go with Kiber Ruiz here, a guy that was a really kind of weird prospect, for at least for me, to rank back in the day. It was like, you know, that one, he was always like a hit over power guy. Then they had that really big power surge one year. Then that kind of went away, you know, and up until kind of recently, you know, he hasn't had a bad major league career, but it's been kind of underwhelming. Like last year, hit 251, 313, 360, just 7 home runs and 433 plate appearances, you know, but this year he's up to 17 home runs and 494 plate appearances. And like a lot of the guys, you know, on this, you know, list that we're talking about tonight has really come on, you know, lately. You know, earlier in the year was a little down, obviously kind of doing similar things that we did in the past, you know, but the power's really surged here. Like I'm trying to see when that surge really started. Kind of right here, mid-July on, let's see what he's, the slash line looks like since then. Yeah, 303, 356, 482, 8 doubles and 7 home runs in this last 177 plate appearances. you know, guy that doesn't strike out a lot, has the super high contact rates. Like we're looking at, let's see here, 92% zone contact, only a 13.8% whiff rate. Love to see both of those, obviously. So how high up the catcher rankings are you moving Kiber Ruiz, Chris? He's still only 25 years old, still pretty young here. Obviously, doesn't have the super elite upside, but a lot of good in this profile, though.
Yeah, I think that his performance has been nothing short of impressive, especially in the second half. And really, kind of going back a little bit before then, he's been up there. Like, you look at standard 5x5 leagues and the performance that he's put on, it's up there with some of the elite catchers. In fact, like, if we filter, like, by date, and we look at, like, let me just filter it from July 1st on and see, because I'm pretty certain he's been a top five catcher. And yes, he is literally right in line with JT Realmuto, Wilson Contreras. He's above Will Smith. Like, this is since July 1st. That's pretty stellar performance with what we've seen. Now, the power coming around is great, but the hit tool is just otherworldly, really, with Kiber Ruiz. So seeing that is, you know, great for his production and performance. And, you know, the Nationals, I'm sure, thrilled after they traded Trey Turner. Well, that was a Trey Turner trade, right, to the Dodgers. They got Kiber back.
I believe that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, I want to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure that was it. So you trade a massive asset. Yeah, that was part of that one. So it was Scherzer and Turner for Kiber, Josiah Gray, Donovan Casey, and Gerardo Carrillo. I don't know who that is, but
I think he was, yeah, he never worked out, obviously. But I think, yeah, pitcher, command issues. But, yeah, obviously, Josiah Gray. I mean, he's been okay. I guess he's been a back in rotation arm. But, yeah, I think absolutely they have to be ecstatic that at least one of those pieces is showing something pretty positive right now.
Yeah, for sure. And he's been great. So that's so hopefully that continues. And I think he's a top 10 dynasty catcher pretty easily at this point.
All right. I think we're a little bit overdue for a game of who you got. So we'll go who you got dynasty catcher edition here, Chris. You know, let me quickly, I have a couple names in mind, but I want to get filtered out here. All right. So who you got, Kiber Ruiz edition? You got Ruiz or let's go Yainer Diaz?
I take Ruiz. I'm just a little more confident in that profile at this point, where more well-rounded with the hit tool. And yeah, I like Diaz a lot, but there's some chase concerns that I have with him where I think that Ruiz may just be more well-rounded.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. We'll do one more. How about Ruiz or, you know, I know a personal favorite of this podcast, Logan Ohapi.
I think I'm taking Ohapi because there's just some insane upside there. By the way, he's having a tremendous night right now. Like, he is just on another planet with what he's doing. I think what's he up to? I saw somebody just post again. Dang, Logan Ohapi again, which told me he did something else. I had to look. Hey, he's 2-for-2 with 2 home runs tonight so far.
Nice.
The game's in the 4th inning. So I'm going Logan Ohapi, not because of that, but because I think that he's just a better player all around.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah, I hope nobody started Reed Detmers tonight, which this was not a place to start Reed Detmers. But yeah, Logan Ohapi, those home runs were, 104.8, and I think it was 100.3, but not like they weren't blasts. They were both under 380, but yeah, still pair of home runs tonight. And did Cal Raleigh go yet? Yeah, Cal Raleigh, big dumper, took a big dump on the Angels there and went yard as well. That was terrible. I'm sorry, everybody. But, you know, Cal Raleigh obviously is a bit older here, but Cal Raleigh, what is Cal Raleigh exactly here? He's 33. Wait, he's 26? What am I thinking
of? Yeah, he's young.
Who am I thinking of?
No idea.
I get a who? Hold on. Who the heck was I just thinking of? That's there. I don't know who I was thinking of, to be honest with you. Anyway, Kyle Raleigh's only 26 years old and obviously has shown some of the best power from this position that we've seen back-to-back years right now, 27 home runs on the dot, but obviously average OBP, you know, have been a bit lower. Where are you valuing Kyle Raleigh? Obviously, the power is the lead kind of leading tool here. Is the power good enough and impactful enough for him to be, you know, a top 10 catcher moving forward?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been absolutely incredible down the stretch. Like you said, having another big game tonight, but he's, I think he just stays so underrated. And yeah, I mean, the average, the OBP, whatever, it's not the best, but you don't need a stud at the position, like if you're getting that many home runs. Since July 1st, he is slashing .242, which .242 is pretty close to major league average, like batting average. So right. You got that going for him with a .330 OBP and .535 slug, and 16 of those home runs have over that. 16 of his 27, I guess 28 now have been over that span. So 17 of 27. So yeah, he's only been getting better, just hitting for power, showing the OBP skills, at least improving a little bit. And I'm pretty in on Kyle Raleigh. I think he's a good value. While, like, there's so many catchers out there that do provide things, but Kyle Raleigh provides the power that most don't.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely true. And I think I was thinking of Mitch Garver because I tweeted about him earlier, and Mitch Garver is 32, almost 33. So I think that's why I think I had Mitch Garver on the brain. But yeah, Kyle Raleigh, absolutely, you know, that power boost that you need, that, you know, some of these other guys can't say, or at least not to his degree, where you're looking at, you know, an annual 25 plus homer guy. Yeah, and if you just keep that average respectable and just don't, like, dip, you know, below 200 or anything like that, I think you're definitely looking at a top 10 catcher here moving forward. Again, still only 26 years old and not 33 like my dumb brain was thinking about originally when I was thinking about Mitch Garver. But anyway, that will wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We do hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more work from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.